One.
All right, we'll call the Gage County Board of Equalization back to order at 1:06 on the clock on July 15th, 2020.
Thank you.
Patty, how would you like to do this? Do you want to just start going down the sheet with each person that signed up, or Daryl, or which one of you would like to run through these?
In the order they came in, so that they can, number two was first in.
And that was Ron Menzel.
Right. Daryl was then after him.
So are these changes or are there changes on the people?
It'll be both. We'll jump back and forth, and then we'll read them all in one or the other.
Okay, yeah, it's online. Okay, so what they sign in and it's all the same.
Didn't we do that before we went through all the changes?
We did. Changes and work, and then we went to new changes, and then the people talked when we went.
I thought we went through all those, and then we just read through each list.
We did, but we took them.
Change.
The people that wanted to.
So Ron Menzel's our first one that's actually representing number three on the Access Online. So don't look at your change one, look at your change one.
Your change?
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as they come up each time?
Number three was no change.
Time, swear, man.
Okay, so I think, Patty, are you on number three on the no change sheet?
We're on that. We're going to hear this unless you want to do the no changes.
Well, where are they at? On which sheet? That's why we want to know.
You're on
the one that's changed and number three.
Number three on the
yeah,
change sheet.
Online. Yeah.
Okay.
The change sheet.
That's what we might want.
He signed in as Ron Menzel, but he is the office on the
okay.
LLC.
Okay.
So is everybody on the same page?
Yep, so we're ready. You want to come up and plead your case? Give us your name, address, and then I'll swear you in.
My name's Ron Menzel. I represent the Access Online LLC.
Will you raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Yes.
All of them.
There's a question. Have you had any COVID scare or anything like that?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. He just asked, just because there's.
Yeah, because you licked your hand, grabbed your paper.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Touched one paper there. Sorry about that. But no, absolutely.
That's right.
All right.
You can continue to wear the mask. I was just.
I don't
think you had it on.
I'm not sure
I
can, you can hear me right with it, but yeah. If you don't mind. Reason I came is the building that I have is 513 Court. It's in the middle of the block, one of the main blocks downtown. I recently heard here a while back that the old J.C. Penney building sold for $12,000, and that kind of made my ears perk up a little bit because my building's only half the size of that building, and so I kind of looked, and everything I have here come off the assessor's site. I've used four other properties that are my neighbors, basically. They're on the same half block. They're on the same block on the south side of Court Street. As you can see, mine is highlighted in yellow. Claims appraised at $68,875. All the others are between $46,000 and $56,000. And that way, I can only look 5 years back, but looks like I spent $2,000 more in the last 5 years than these properties did. So that's what kind of raised my, that's why I'm filing the protest, I guess. And I've carried down the highlighted in yellow what my, some comparisons with these other properties. And all these other properties have had businesses in them, either businesses in them now or have more recently than mine has. And so occupation isn't, can't be the thing that makes mine valued more. Size, two of these buildings are twice the size as mine. They're 50 foot wide rather than 25. So using the math of square footage, I would think mine would be half of what a building twice the size of mine is. And then two of the buildings, and coincidentally it's the two buildings that are twice as wide as mine, have been sold in the last 3 years. The first columns where the quilt stitches business is located, it was sold for $50,000, or purchased for $50,000 in 2017. And I mentioned how the JCPenney building sold for $12,000 last fall. And as we all know, Gage County is a, or Court Street, downtown Beatrice, isn't a great location anymore. There's very few businesses, really. You can walk outside at any given time, and there's not a single person on the street. So demand isn't in our, in the owner's favor down there. Trying to get someone to rent a space down there is pretty challenging. It doesn't really, it's about impossible. So anyway, just comparison to the four buildings that are on my block, and using the square footage of each of the buildings, basing the value on actual sales, tells me my building's worth somewhere between $6,000 and $25,000. And even on the high end of it, when we take the first building that actually sold for $50,000, it's twice as big as mine. It's had new air conditioning, heating. It's got a new sidewalk out front. It's been refurbished for retail for the last few years since the sewing machine place has been there. And it's a much more desirable building than mine would be. And if I had a chance at a renter, and it isn't that I would, I remodeled it years ago in the past, but it's been hard to keep tenants down there. I've tried a couple of restaurants in it through the years, and they didn't seem to be able to make it. And so it isn't from lack of trying, and as far as retail people, you know, but if you're not selling, a couple of stores that fill businesses down there have volunteer help, and they're selling, it's basically a garage sale behind the doors. So.
Well, Daryl, can you walk us through what?
I've been through the property. I met with Ron down there. And the front of it appears to be not as changed at all. And I passed the picture around with the restaurant that was there. It's still the same way. The back part, they ripped out the kitchen equipment and stuff, and it's the way they left it, a mess. Hasn't been cleaned up. But the comp that he's using, that he requested it to be at $12,000, I know the talked to the owner. The roof's caving in on it. He's trying to donate it to the city. He didn't realize how bad a shape it was in, and he's giving it away. He didn't realize the roof was caving in, it's leaking. I recommended a change, according to Ron. He said he feels it's only worth $25,000, and he used the quilt. She's made changes to that property after she bought it, so it just didn't sit still, and she just walked in, turned the lights on to work. She made changes to that property, and in my opinion, I had a question is, what are you asking for the sale price on it? What are you asking for? Did you advertise it?
I've advertised it without a price, and couldn't get it all.
Well, that doesn't tell me anything.
Well, that doesn't tell me anything either, so.
So you just say it's for sale, and that's it?
Well, I did this a year or two ago, but, so I mean, there was no interest. We had a sign in the window a few years ago, and had the phone number, and no one would ever call.
What price are you asking for? What's your requested value, I guess?
If we want to go by quilt stitches, they have a successful, they have a business that appears to be thriving anyway. And if that thing is valued at $50,450, and it's twice as big as mine, how can mine be worth more than half of that? We're in the same block, two doors away. Pardon?
What did you rent it for at the restaurant?
Yeah, it's been like 5 years.
But anyway, I didn't think it was worth what he wanted at $12,000, and I recommended some changes to it at
Your recommendation of $50,725, what's that work out to per square foot?
$11.53.
But there again, my question is, so why is my building worth the same amount as the quilt stitches building when it's twice as big as mine?
And she paid what for it?
$50,000?
Correct. And she did nothing to it. She has made changes in that property, and the property is going to be worth more today. Now, she's trying to buy the Woodward building and offer them $50,000, and he won't take it. So, I don't know.
Well, the Woodwards own several buildings downtown. They're a family trust from Texas. Mm-hmm. I tried renting buildings from them back instead of buying the one I have. And they've never been interested in selling the building because they have to pay tax on it. So I think that's a little bit irrelevant. But like you say, I'm just going apples and oranges. I've put money into my building too, so what difference does it make? I put a new roof on, part of my new roof on a couple of years ago. Just like the JCPenney building, yeah, we all have to put roofs on. We all have to maintain them. We all have to insure them.
Ron, you don't know what you're going to ask for it, so.
If you guys want to write me a check for that $50,000, I'll just take it.
Well, you said it's only worth $22,000 or $25,000.
Well, it doesn't matter what I say what it's worth, right?
I guess not.
That's all I'm saying. If it isn't worth it. I'm saying what you're saying is worth. That's what I'm getting taxed on. In the last 5 years, using these numbers, I've already paid $2,000 more the last 5 years than all these properties have. I don't think that was fair.
Daryl, you recommended $50,725.
Yeah, that's what I recommend.
That brings that down to about the value of that quilt stitches building. That is twice the size again.
It is bigger. And she's made improvements to it since she purchased it.
She purchased it prior to what you'd be taxing this on then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or post. This is her
sale is
2017.
So, and you're protesting in 2000.
I know.
Okay.
But her taxes are still 50,000, based on 50,000 in 2019 and 2020.
Are you saying, Daryl, that that one should go up because she's made improvements, but they haven't?
She will be. He's protesting her value, so I'm going to take a look at it. So that's where it's going.
I'm not, but it's not just hers.
Looking at this that you presented, though, there's two other buildings that are similar size to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that 50,000 would put you in line with those two. Off of your numbers here, the 511 and 509,
mm-hmm.
His recommendation would put you on par with those.
Yeah, and they're not, you know, I don't know why or why not they wouldn't protest, but could be like me. I haven't protested either for the last 10 or 15 years. And downtown isn't what it used to be. Even between 2017 and 2019, I don't know that downtown is what it used to be. The 12, you know, you want to talk about J.C. Penney building. You said they had a $38,000 estimate to repair the roof. Okay, you put 38 to 12, that's $50,000. But the building's twice as big as mine. I have a 25-foot wide building, not a 50-foot wide building. Square footage is doubled.
And the way it works is off of sales. I mean, even regardless of what things are worth, assessment is all based on sales.
That's what I would think.
I guess Daryl's assessment would put you, I don't understand exactly why two are twice the size and relatively the same price and two are half the size and relatively the same price, but I guess I would ask the Equalization Board for a motion to accept Daryl's recommendation or propose another value.
Daryl, you see anything different than when you arrived at the 50,000 number? No.
You were originally at 68,000, correct? So that'd be a reduction of 18,875 or 18,100, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Rough math.
On the other hand, I've been paying that extra all these years, and it hasn't been fair, and it's not based on sales. It's hard to sell a downtown building. It's hard to rent a downtown building.
Without sales, though, I mean, it is rough. Without the sales, it's rough to have comparables. It can only be property.
But the two we have are like two doors down in each direction. One is $50,000 for a building twice as big as mine. I don't understand why it's fine if he says it's being taxed at $10 a foot and mine and theirs is half. I guess I don't understand the math.
Well, I'd ask for a motion from someone either at Daryl's recommendation or at a different value. Daryl's valuation suggestion is $50,725. Original valuation is $68,875. And there is a chance those others will go up. It's really hard telling once that's reevaluated if there's been changes to that. But I mean, it's a good exercise to look at this every year.
It hasn't been looked at for several years because, as you can see on the printouts from the assessor's office, taxes haven't changed in several years. And they're all the same. I feel I've already paid $2,000 more in the last 5 years than all these businesses have. And I don't think that's right.
No, it isn't, but we can't fix past years.
Well, I understand that, but. But still doing the math, if you're going to tax downtown, I think square footage has to be. How can a building twice as big be worth the same as one that's half as small? I don't know.
This is the back gallery eatery, right? Yeah, and since that building, after she moved out, you haven't done anything to that building other than you ripped the kitchen equipment out?
There was no restaurant in after that.
No, we had one in there after that for a brief time.
Okay.
But most of that equipment.
So the rent, you don't remember the rent on the other one?
I think it was around 900 at that, back then. But they couldn't make it, so.
When they ripped the equip, I mean, did you rip the equipment out?
No,
they did. Was it their equipment or was it?
Part, yeah.
They fit all that into it?
I mean, we just have a box, it's a box, there's a hood in there for exhaust, is all in.
Have you tried to rent it to other restaurants or done any of that? Because it's not enough for that.
Yeah, nothing's going there. COVID, right.
With assessment though, it really doesn't matter, does it?
No.
I mean, it's based on what the building is.
If it was rented, you can do a staking approach.
If it's not rented, then can you do the same thing?
Well, yeah, we're going to encourage it.
But it hasn't been rented for, what, 5 years?
He hasn't done anything to the property.
I paid the extra $400 a year all those years with it being unrented.
Daryl made some adjustments with the stuff ripped out and stuff.
Right?
He made some adjustments to it, so.
But I'm still, let's see, to me, where's square footage come into play? How can a building twice as big be worth the same?
Daryl, sometimes it's a bigger building, harder to move it. It can be sometimes, but it's just they don't work as much just because it is bigger.
Correct. And the square footage goes down. Size. And you're also going to relook at the bigger building in the interior. You're also going to reevaluate the other building.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mr. Jervis.
I make a recommendation. We lower the change, recommended change from $50,725 to $40,725.
Motion by Jervis to adjust parcel 0098550000. Beatrice Online LLC to $40,725.
Yes.
From the recommendation of $50,725. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on this parcel? Mr. Lytle.
Daryl, you quilt stitches. When you go to look at that, do you have any idea? Have you looked at that facility? Or?
Yes, I've been in it, and based on his, he hasn't even cleaned up the back part of this. The front looks nice, but everything just, I don't know how he presents this or what he's asking for, but I'm talking about the subject. But yeah, we have to address the bill. She's trying to buy some more buildings, and she's made some offers, and there's certainly a lot more than
Ron, just so you know, as there are sales down there, that will affect your property as well as every other property downtown. If those sales become higher, that'll start going up.
Mm-hmm.
The farmers definitely deal with this every year, as every other property is. And there's always that lag in there. But any additional discussion on this parcel? I would ask you to vote. Six, four in favor, with Lytle voting no. Four to one. Wait a second. Jurgens Hill.
Bellman's not here.
Okay, now you guys are messing with me.
Yeah.
Team and Dorn and Jurgens voting yes. Byers and Lytle voting no. Motion carries.
All right. Thank you for your consideration.
See lights just flashing on and off back there.
Okay, next one's Daryl.
Daryl, could you state your name and address for the record, and I'll swear you in here in a second.
Daryl Grimms, 104 Annie Circle, Gaffes.
Will you raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Patty, where's this at on our sheets, too?
This one is a, I believe, a no change, so it will be... What number?
I'm running out.
What? I don't know how to read anyway, so that's okay.
I ran out.
Can you give me your copy?
Yep.
I mean, all right, he can have this, I'll get his when we're done.
It should be off about a client, your no change list, so...
If you need an extra copy.
Patty probably needs, she can have mine when I'm done.
Well, that's all right, I just have to have a copy for the file record, so...
Or you can have mine when we're done.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
On the no change list.
Okay. Number two on the no change list.
Well, you already gave it to me.
I agree with you.
Well, I'll give it to her, she should have it, boss lady.
I got my copy here, you take a look, just try to get one.
I have a no change list.
All right.
Before you start the clock on my 5 minutes of fame here, I'd like to express a little frustration with the process. So, I filed this protest on last Monday in the afternoon when I got my mail. Realized that I had a hearing scheduled for Wednesday at 4:30 in the afternoon, which wasn't going to work very well because we were planning on leaving for a weekend to go watch our grandson play baseball, and we were going to leave at noon on Wednesday. So first thing I did was call the assessor's office and was told that, you know, that was my time, that they were filled up, there wasn't any options. So after some further discussion with Patty and Lloyd, they made some adjustments and changed the hearing to Monday at 11 o'clock. And then I found out on Friday, after some games were rained out on Thursday, that chances were pretty good that we were still going to be in Wisconsin late Sunday evening. So I called Patty again. She got a hold of Lloyd, and they agreed to just do it whenever I got back to town. So that was good, but then when I got to the hearing in the afternoon on Monday and got Lloyd's recommendation here, this was on Monday the 13th, and I got this thing from Lloyd that he'd already signed on the 7th recommending no change. So what probably should have happened, instead of forcing my wife to drive 5.5 hours on Monday with one stop to let her use the restroom, should have just told me there wasn't any point in coming to that thing because I've already filled out the paperwork and recommended no change, and nothing you can tell me is going to change my mind anyway.
Patty, do you want to comment on that, if that was filled out ahead of time?
I do.
Or Lloyd?
You've been in the office about 2 or 3 times prior and laid out your case. But you still have the right to have your formal hearing. In the event, for the sake of being timely, I went ahead and worked it out. You could have changed my mind during that hearing on Monday, but you did not. And so I ran a copy of it, gave it to you.
Well, you had, you know, we had discussions about what I was thinking and the reason for the protest was, but I hadn't brought you any paperwork or anything like I did on Monday when we finally had the meeting.
Well, I've got a protest here that says June 30th, 2020.
Right.
So I've had this for quite some time.
Right, I know, but you didn't have the information that I submitted to at the hearing, which I...
Soil classes are not correct. 7344 is not a class 1 soil value at 2100, da 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 da.
Yes.
Is that not your argument?
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
All right.
Well, with that, I'll say we'll commence then.
Okay. So if you go through the stack that I gave you, that you can skip through the first 3 pages there because that's what I was talking about. So the first one there is the property that I'm protesting that's up 7.9% since 2019. And it's, as you see there, 53%. CRP, which is essentially tillable ground that just happens to be in CRP, and 30.4% of it is trees. And then it tells you what it's assessed at and so forth. And my part of my protest reason for it is this, some of these class four soils that now all of a sudden become class one soils, and that 7344 Malmoe eroded is assessed at $2,800 an acre if it's in CRP and not in production, and it's only assessed at $2,415 if it's in production as dry land. So that is part of the reason for the protest. And so then we'll go on the next one, stapled together there, the comps. Again, mine was up 8%, so comp number one is tillable and more tillable acres than only 13% trees, and it was down 7.9% since 2019. Comp number two is also in CRP, and it has, again, a higher percentage that's actually could be tillable that happens to be in CRP, and it's only 5.5% trees. And it's down 3.6% from 2019. And Supervisor John Hill owns an adjacent parcel to the north of it, which is the next staple together piece. And it's real similar to what I have as far as soil types and grass and trees. And it's down 12.2% since 2019, as opposed to mine being up 8%, which is a 20% difference. And that wasn't one of Lloyd's comps. It's just when I was looking at his comps, I looked at the one to the north, and it happened to be John's, and it's down 12.2%. Similar piece of property to mine, actually. A lot of class four soils, trees, grass. Comp number three is down 1% from 2019, and that farm actually has 63% of that farm is class two soils, and most of one I'm protesting is class three and four soils, which if anybody knows anything about soils, you should understand that one with that high a percentage of good soil should be worth more than the one that I'm protesting. So next in your pile here is a letter from Ruth that you guys should have gotten this morning, after I talked to her for 15 or 20 minutes this morning. So, and some of the things that stick out on that thing is in the second paragraph, the actual physical soil on a given parcel did not change with the conversion. Further down in that paragraph, it says county assessors were encouraged to adjust the valuation structures to avoid increases to agricultural land because the current market for the majority of the state is flat to declining. And then if you go to the second page of that letter, the first full paragraph, on toward the end of it, it says the increases should not be based solely on the soil conversion, as the dirt did not change. If there's still soils or LCGs that changed, causing an increase in value, perhaps another review to create subclasses with a lower value or spot adjustments could be made. And then, next paragraph, the last sentence, the agricultural landowners that received an increase in value that was not based on the market will bear a disproportionate tax burden without corrective action. So the next page is these next three are the comps that Lloyd first sent me back 2 weeks ago. So I didn't know anything about the comps that he was using until our scheduled meeting there on Monday. And these are, in my opinion, for the most part, not valid comps. Two of them are up by Adams, and the two that are by Adams are one piece of, was one piece of real estate that was split into two pieces. One of them has a 5-acre pond on it, and, you know, it's just, they're not comps for the one I was protesting. Next in the pile is all the properties surrounding the one that I'm protesting. The first one is across the road to the north, which is down 1%. The next one is across the road north and west, down 3.2%. Adjacent to the west, down 4.6%. Adjacent to the south, down 6.3%. Across the road to the east, down 5.7%. And one of them, that's a mile east, is down 4.1%. So as I was going through this stuff, I realized that there's some board members that have some ag land, so I decided to look at their values and see what happened. So just starting going through the alphabet, Supervisor Byers' family, household, has a piece of farmland, and it's down 6.7% from 2019. Eddie Dorn's is next, his parcels, down 6%. And the current winner is John Hill, who has a significant portfolio there. His total valuation went down 12%. Mine's up 8. And by the time I got to the J, I had too many adult beverages and had to go to bed, so the Jurgens Empire.
You found out he was broke.
The Jurgens Empire got skipped over because I just got started and I got tired. And back to that 7344 soil type that we've been talking about is the next page is the new cash rental rates for CRP. And if you see there, in the $97 category is that 7344 that I've been talking to Lloyd about, Patty, and several senators, including Erdman, who passed the bill, it was his bill that they passed that created this disruption. But the 7344 is not a Class 1 soil. Even NRCS realizes that it's the rental rate is 30% less than most of the other soils. So there shouldn't be any question that 7344 specifically shouldn't be a Class 1 soil when it's in CRP and shouldn't change the value.
Patty, on that, if everything around that property went down, how is it that we have one that went up?
Okay. Let's start from the very beginning. Remember when I came to the board and explained to you, we started talking about that conversion, that long sheet I gave you. Okay? I was very concerned with LB 372. Daryl knows this as well as anybody. We've had discussions. We've had a lot of discussions. I started jumping on that the second that bill came out. I looked at 7344. It's a 4D, a 4A, and then it goes down to a Class 1 when it gets attached in CRP. To me, that makes no sense whatsoever. Unfortunately, that is what the State Department of Revenue, Property Tax, and I think Daryl will agree, and I told him, I do not believe it's a Class 1 soil. I didn't set that soil, and it's my understanding if you're in CRP, and Lloyd will probably agree or not agree, you were a CRP going into, the dry land going into a CRP program, it mostly had to be Class 3s and 4s. Right now we have Class 1s. So I'm in agreement with him as far as it is not a class one soil. And we talked about that.
The letter that, and this came while we were in our meeting this morning, Ruth Sorensen sent one, or you forwarded it over and Don gave it to me this morning.
Well, and the email that goes on top of it, too. So if there's the email there, that's important to know that I already adjusted on one time.
The and in that letter, it says the subclasses, like you were making, are to keep them so that they're about the same.
Okay.
So that would be the same for all properties. So I guess my question would be, again, if all the property around him, because everyone's treated the same, if all the property around him has dropped, why has that property increased?
The property around that he gave, that Daryl gave the examples to, are dry cropland. His property is being assessed as CRP ground, which is a flat rate of 2,800 an acre. The CR, though, because of the problems that we had, or the office had, after the Erdman bill went into effect with unintended consequences. It's an aberration, basically. But the bottom line is, and I apologize for the three sales that you mentioned, Daryl, concerning the Adams, Nebraska sales. If you recall, those were sent to you in late June,
right,
before you filed your protest, and I was just throwing some sales up. I must have made a mistake. I probably sent somebody in Adams your sales, but I haven't heard about it. But the fact of the matter is, there are several sales that say that Daryl's property is priced correctly. And I have them on his sheet, for starters. There are some CRP sales that also say the same thing. I question, it's difficult when CRP is being broke up for cropland like it has been for the last 10 years. But this is where we're at today, and you know, and Patty's explained how we got here.
This is what's what, because basically, just because any of these board members went down, if the soil types on that particular farm, I didn't pick out board members and lower them.
You know, oh, I know that. I wasn't implying.
Okay, so make sure they understand that.
No,
like,
I wasn't
implying.
I just happened.
I wasn't picking up. You know.
The first one I happened to cross was the one that's adjacent to the comp that I have,
right,
from Lloyd,
right,
which belongs to John Hill. The one that's in, that's similar to mine. It's CRP, trees and grass.
But
that's what I have.
You understand what I had the difficulty of trying to do.
But Patty, I guess I have a question, not to interrupt you two, but if that one's similar and it's also CRP, and we have these difficulties, the difficulties are the same across the board, how does one CRP farm go down and one CRP farm go up?
If John's got the same soil type, it should be exactly the same.
Yeah, you go down through the list, they're Malmo eroded, there's 18.87 acres of Malmo eroded. Odo Sildy clay loam, 6.73, that's...
He's got the same value as John does, so I don't know, unless John's
then
got dry land or whatever.
Then it becomes a matter of how many acres of that soil type.
But the intent of the bill was not to increase anybody's taxes.
But it was also to make sure that it was at market.
That's right. But Bruce told me this morning that thing should not have caused anybody's property valuations to go up, because the trend is, and it says that in that letter, flat or
which I think is what we're all seeing, too. I mean,
well, the University of Nebraska study just came out, said this area went up 3% in dry land crop values. This isn't a disaster out here. It's not, the land prices aren't falling out of bed. In my opinion, they're staying very stable.
If I had a class 3 and 4 soil that all of a sudden jumped to 1, what do we do about that?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I think what Ruth said was we create a subclass so it stays the same. That's the way I understood that.
That's what she told me this morning. It shouldn't have caused an increase in valuation just because the soil didn't change. It was just the same dirt.
It shouldn't because of the soil, but the market still indicates that it could be okay.
No. We ended up putting a flat 2,800 an acre on CRP, and whereas the dry land soil classes...
All CRP, regardless of the soil type.
Yeah, which makes absolutely no sense, because even NRCS has a different cash rental rate for different soil types. So,
Mr. Hill?
At some point, we're just going to get to the point where if you have dry land farmland, it's assessed at 3,000 an acre. We don't care about the soil types. If it's irrigated, it's 5,000. CRP, it's 2,800.
And what I was told by the state was, we need to quit looking at our LBG codes so closely. That's our inventory sheet, but the LBG codes doesn't necessarily mean, that's the inventory of your value, but at the end of the day, what's your value compared to market?
John?
Daryl, you've always looked at some other properties. Were they affected adversely, or some of them go the right direction? Or?
Some of them went down a little bit, yeah. Some of them stayed about the same. And some of them, I actually worked last week with Annette for a while, but some of them weren't classified properly. One was out of CRP, and it was now dry land. It actually ended up going up because we couldn't change from CRP to dry land, which I thought was going to go down, so I should have kept quiet instead of telling them it wasn't in CRP. I heard it go down based on
the argument I still have is Lloyd and I disagree with the soil types, and we disagree with the classifications.
On this particular piece of property?
CRP, now, clarify that, please.
CRP and pasture. Dry and irrigated definitely went down in our sales.
But if we put
CRP and pasture, because it went from a class 3 and 4 to a 1.
But we can fix that with subclass. The part I'm not understanding, I guess, is if CRP is a flat dollar amount, regardless of soil type, if that's what you did, how can two CRP farms increase
actually,
or decrease in value differently?
Would you agree with it going up into your dry land classification?
What's that?
The CRP going up, because Lloyd believes that CRP should be valued as dry land.
She's asking if you want to switch up CRP category.
I did the calculation. It actually goes down in value.
If you put it in dry land. Next year,
yeah, no, I want to do that. That's not right either.
Right.
I mean, and
that,
and
the argument
and
is
it's not right.
Be a Turk.
Well, somebody up there is going to have to fix it because, you know, just like right now, we have all pasture land valued at $19.15 an acre. Well, I have some pasture land that's rock that won't grow weeds.
Takes more rain.
What would you?
And then I have some that's good soils, you know, down in the bottoms and stuff that produces fairly good forage. But you can't call one piece of pasture the same value as another piece.
What are you requesting the valuation be changed to?
Well, the original request was for $250, and then after that, I did some calculation, and it's on the last page of my protest. There is I took the ratio of another piece to the east, and it's in this pile. It's the one that Lloyd Graham has to the east. And on that farm, there's dry land, there's CRP, and there's the soil types. There's some Wymore soil that's in production, and there's also Wymore soils that are in CRP. And the ratio there is the Wymore that's in CRP is 74% of what the Wymore that's in production. And it's this last sheet here that says 1.5 miles east. So there's two soil types there. One of them's Wymore silty clay loam, 7689, that's in CRP, and there's the same soil type that's dry land. And the ratio for those two is the CRP is valued at 74% of what the dry land is. So I applied that formula to my CRP, 74% of what it would be if it was dry land in that area, and it came up to 256,930. So my 250 guess when I filled out the protest was fairly close.
My thought on this is that even though Daryl has some properties where he benefited from it, it wasn't intended to cause any land to go up in valuation. I mean,
that's what the letter states specifically from Ruth.
Well, and if anything, it should have gone down a little bit based on everything that went around it.
But what I'm comfortable with is saying it should be the same as last year, and then let it work out next year, and hopefully
we have all, okay, Darrell, I'm going to ask you a question. You agree with me with the PAD. You don't agree. I mean, we've had that discussion. We have a problem with the land classifications.
We have. We obviously have a problem. I wouldn't be standing up here.
I know. But we, at the very
beginning. I quit doing this years ago for a reason, because at some point you have enough stupid, so you don't need to come back for any more.
Okay, so what happened is we sent out a first valuation notice, because I haven't told you guys at the beginning it's LD-372. It's really, really, and I even called Myron, because Myron's there. And I was trying to get a handle on this, and when I looked at that class 7344, and it came in as a 4A, a 4D, and then it jumped to a one pasture and one CRP. That right away told me, why wouldn't you be all the same? And I think I even had that discussion with you. When you jump from a 4 to a 1, that's going to, how do you even do that value then? When one's the best and four's the worst.
I don't know how that happened if they're using NRCS or...
And even that letter says that they are.
Well,
read the letter from Ruth.
But the CRP rental rates say that they can't be because...
We understand, yeah.
Because they know that it's...
Read the letter that says that we're going by the NRC guidelines.
I saw it.
Is that true?
Well, somebody goofed up then, because 7344 is 35% less than most of the
other... Well, there's contradiction all through this, though. What was the value last year on that?
The value last year was $297,780. And I would be comfortable to move it back to that and move it back to last year's.
Can we move yours back to last year's value on the one that just went down 12%? It's the same thing. It's the same dirt.
Well, I know it is. And I guess we could do that. We could raise all of your others back up.
I'm talking about the one that's comparable to what I have.
Well, and nothing's totally comparable. And my taxes are a lot higher per acre than yours are, if you look at it. So they are.
Well, now we got to figure that. I'm saying I got to do all that. That's more paperwork, John.
I'm paying $3,100 on an 80, and you're paying $30.
You're lucky you didn't get into Jurgen's sheet. You would have had pages on
it. You're probably in the, but, you know,
I went through in the wrong school district.
Yeah, you're in the wrong school district. Yeah.
But I mean, there will be corrections
over this. Jurgen just eat down near Dillarodell. He doesn't even have any tax.
Lloyd?
Darryl.
It's all right.
Lloyd has some interest.
I want to get my 2 cents in on this. If you take the Darryl Brooms' current assessment of $321,465 and divide it by 69% for the ratio, you come up and divide it by 155 acres, you come up, the indicated assessor market value is $2,991 an acre. I've got a sale in area two now of CRP that stayed in CRP, 80 acres, 67 in CRP, and it brought $3,165 a deeded acre. I've got another sale around Jury to Steve Pinocchi, and it was 80 acres with 64 and a half acres of expired CRP, and it sold for $3,000 an acre, and it stayed out of the program. The CRP program has a lot fewer acres now than it did 10 years ago.
Well, we get back to the question I asked before, that if we have CRP at a rated rate, or, you know, just here's what it is regardless of soil, how can we have a farm that's adjacent go down and one go up?
That farm is dry cropland, right, Darryl?
Which one?
The ones adjacent that you were showing.
All of them around me, yeah.
Yeah, they were all dry cropland. Here's a CRP. It's an aberration.
So what you're telling me is that there's such a high demand for CRP right now that people are willing to pay more for CRP because it's valued higher than they are for dry cropland.
That doesn't seem realistic.
He's just giving you the sales, Darryl, the facts.
Well, I
know. That's all he's saying. He's not giving you an opinion. He is giving you the facts on sale.
My opinion is that this needs to be really looked at from the bill to the state's classification, and I showed that. Mm-hmm. That's why I came back with the second round of notices.
I agree with you, Patty, but we're going to have to look at this now. This is a today thing on this. We do need to keep pushing them there in the state level. But just to recap, though, just briefly, current valuation is 321,565 proposed. Last year's was 297,780. Requested is 256,930. This this is an odd year. I mean, this, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, a lot of times we can look at these and they make sense.
Yeah.
It's like I'm missing a page of the book and I don't know how we got from here to here.
Well, based on, you know, my conversation with Ruth this morning, and the reason I called Ruth is because everybody that I talked to, from the senators to the assessor to everybody, well, it's Ruth. It's Ruth. It's because of Ruth. So when I talked to Ruth, I said, you know, you're kind of getting thrown under the bus here. So I thought maybe the best thing for me to do was try to get closer to Ruth. And she called me back.
You called and told me after I sent that second notice out, John. You finally thought I did something right.
Well, that's totally
Gary, where are we going?
Well, and you did. You had to fit because after
don't
the first
don't you think I had a really, really hard time figuring this all out the way they did it at the state?
I understand that. And
tell them.
Well, Ruth said
okay
you
with that,
did.
Write it and see
okay.
You,
Ruth
see
said you did
it.
In the letter.
I don't disagree
and I told
that we're
her that
back
when
here
I talked
about
to her, I said, you,
I
you've
told
been
her
over
I respectfully disagree with your grand values.
I said, you've been over back
well, we
down
can
here
too.
To try to fix this.
Well,
it's
we
a
can.
Mess that somebody else created.
Terry just did.
That's what you tell them, so they know that I'm not.
All right, if you've got enough, I'd ask for a motion.
The values stay the same as we have it on the books now.
Eric, I did make a motion to move back last year's valuation at 297,780. And hopefully next year we can work better on this stuff.
I have a motion by Hill, 297,780, previous year's valuation.
Second.
Second by Byers. Any further discussion? I would ask you to vote, please. Six in favor. Motion carries. To change that to 297,780 last year's valuation. And hopefully we have a little more direction going forward. If everything's dropping, it is. It's tough to look and wonder why is one property.
But they almost made it impossible to stay at a certain level of value and then jump things from a 4 to a 1. I mean, that's almost an impossible calculation of numbers, you know. And then you have a 4D, a 4A, and one for CRP and one for pasture. So,
I suppose
the only thing I can say is he probably was up. And I agree, it's an issue.
And you can't dispute equalization.
But I need to talk to them.
Nick.
Next.
Next participant.
I need a copy from somebody.
Oh, I'll give you my copy.
You want
and,
or maybe Daryl? You got your copy? Do you need your copy, Daryl?
Daryl, she can have mine. I can get this back from
I'll
her.
I'll make copies of it for you. We'll do that way.
Don't waste any more paper. I'm already going to get a bill from the assessor's
office. Can I bill you too?
Patty, will you tell us which one this is also?
Thank you.
Okay, so that's it.
Do you have enough? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Where's my list?
Here, copy for you.
Man, you were under what's
the
Beat LLC.
That would be
64 on your change list. So this is by Ben that he signed in as Ben, so we have problems. So it's number 64 on your change list.
Would you state your name and address, then I'll swear you in?
Yeah, Benjamin Crummer. The address of, that's under the protest is 105 North 4th Street.
Will you raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Not affirm again.
Swear or affirm, I'm sorry.
That's fine. All right. So yeah, I'm Ben Crummer. I do, I'm the owner of the LLC, which is essentially holds the property for the apartment building down at 105 North 4th, which is commonly referred to as the old Knowles building, the apartment building that's got the hair salon cutting edge on the corner, and then the baseball card shop there in the basement. So there are 25 apartment units inside that building as well. One of those reserved for an on-site. purchased the building back late July of last year from Phil Knowles. So I rented all of last year and obviously still own the building, coming up on the 1 year anniversary of purchasing it. So I guess the valuation, what I'm protesting right now, the new valuation coming in at $575,000, whereas last year it came in at $215,000 total, which is about a big increase of 266% or 267% there in that first paragraph, and even about $125,000 more than what I purchased the building for at $450,000. So definitely some.
You purchased them for how much?
$450.
Okay.
Right there, yeah. So the building itself is. On my protest form here, I apologize, I did not attach the appendices, but I believe really the highlights are really spelled out in there when you look at the profit and loss statements for it. So I'm really protesting on three accounts: the profit and loss statement, since it is a commercial building, the current condition and building improvements, and then finally the similar property type comparisons with the building. So I think in order of magnitude here, as far as the financial profit and loss statements of the building itself has not made any major updates interior to the building. Occupancy hasn't changed to increase rents. As far as the units themselves, there hasn't been a lot of increase in the rents themselves. I think what we've been getting, potential gross profit when I brought the building, just really the rents total was about $8,805. You can see in that second paragraph underneath profit. Really the updates that I've made to the building has mainly been just rounding up of rents. Gone.
You paid $450.
I paid $450 for it, yes.
You want it valued at $215.
I want it valued at $215. It's the original value of what has been the last 5 years. Yes, that's correct. And so when you look at the profit increase, it's been negligible. Like I said, it's an old building that has needed a considerable amount of work. It's been owned by the same person the last 30-some years. There's been just a lot of issues with the building that have been known at time of purchase and then after purchase. So there's definitely a lot of work that needs to go back into the building, which obviously has not improved the valuation of the building. In my mind, if the only thing that has changed in the last year is the sale of a building, I don't think that the change in valuation, that really marks a change in valuation. If the main point is that the financial profit and loss is what is driving that cost to go up, that valuation to go up. If the profit and loss hasn't changed, the condition of the building has not changed, I don't think that this property has to show that it's gone up. What, 267% is kind of, to me, a little is way out of line. So.
But if you look at what you paid for it,
so valuation is different. What you cost is what you pay. Value is what you get. Right. So values.
We do equalization based on sales, based on what other properties sell for, and we base your value based on that also, and not just guessing at it.
Correct, yeah. I'm not trying to guess at it either. I'm just trying to.
You paid over $400,000, and now you're saying the building is only worth $215,000.
If you go through your, maybe just go through your comparables quickly with us.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's fine. We can go through the comparables. The comparables, that first page there is my building that I think we've all seen. The next comparable I have is owned by Hydo Properties. Similar type of apartment building style, three floors, similar to mine. Close proximity to where I live, to where my building's at. Same asset class. It does garner even much higher rents. There are one bedrooms there at $475,000, whereas mine are at $350,000. That unit, that building has not changed within the last 5 years, so as far as the valuation, and it still sits at $96,000 on the property value there. So that's my first comparison. The second one is a much larger group of buildings and units there, and that's owned by the previous owner, Phil Knowles. That valuation is at 205. From there, you've got a lot of commercial units that are sitting in there, a lot of long-standing commercial units. Again, a much larger size building than mine, and that is less than my current $215,000 assessment. That last one on the page, that one by Michael Borgman, might not be as good as a valuation to compare it against, but this last one, the Actors Rental LLC, that one, there's two different properties on there. Two different properties. And that one is listed at $168,000. Again, similarities with that. It is a multifamily. It's close proximity. Similar rent prices. So that's a far cry from the 575 that my building is being valued at.
Are your closest comparable? Is that a height of rental? I suppose at least an apartment building like that. Daryl?
Yeah, hi, Ben. I've met your parents.
Yeah. We've talked.
In the beginning, when Ben purchased this, it's at $450,000. We wondered what was going on. So I talked to the person that was managing it, and she continued to give me all the rates, the number, size of units, the vacancy, conditions, what was going on. And we had used that income to come up with our value. And since then, Ben and parents had supplied me with some other information.
I guess I should say, I do live out of town, so yes. Yeah, that's why my parents were helping out a little bit from time to time, but yeah. So.
And so we had re-looked at the income stream on this, and we had recommended $313,749. And I think some personal property and some equipment like refrigerators and stoves and things were included in that $450,000. But we took a look at the vacancy he's got now and some of the conditions that several of them are unrentable at this point. So we back those out until he gets them up and we'll check next year to see where they are. But that was our recommendation, to increase it to that and pick it up in 2021.
$313,750 is the recommended.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that's obviously I think a lot fairer assessment of it. I still would like to know the difference between if nothing has changed from the previous year owner, and actually it's actually costing me more to fix a lot of the things that were not being fixed and taken care of to actually get things up to code on certain things that from the previous years. 5 years that it hasn't changed to now, even if it's going up $100,000, I'm still trying to find a tough time to justify that. If the only difference is if it's just changed purchase price.
We had not been in it. We're coming on to our 6 year period where we would do all of the commercial. We haven't been in it. State statute tells us that we have to review certain classes of property every 6 years, and now you're coming on to the 6th year that now we're going to be reviewing all the commercial.
Okay.
That's why the other ones have stayed the same?
Yes. And once we get into them again and start all over with commercial, then where will be?
Can I get that in writing?
Jeez,
go right.
I'm just saying that. Like, I don't want next year to come in, the next year to come in, all that.
So
are you still comfortable with that valuation you got set on $313,750, Daryl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just wondering, on a building like that in Beatrice, what do you use for a comparable? Other than sale price. I mean, this is one where on farm ground it's a little tougher on this. I would say it's a little more straightforward. On a building like that, we don't really have anything comparable.
That is correct.
To
we
it.
We don't, and therefore we do resort to, which we'll do all commercial on an income basis. So those others that he was throwing out there, we'll be gathering the rents that they have and vacancies. So you got to go to the income stream and get her. Christy was your manager. Is that Who was the man who gave me all that information to start with?
That I'm not sure who gave it to you, but yeah, Krista Weedle is the leasing manager for the building, yeah.
And she was getting painted and getting fixed up and rentable and
she wasn't doing any of that, no. She's just managing the commercial side of some of the stuff. Yeah.
Okay. And he has commercial on the first floor.
Correct, yeah. That they've been locked into a 5-year contract just right before I signed it. The same contract that was no increase from even the previous 5 years. So there hasn't been any sizable shift. There's been occupancy's been the same since I bought it. It's about an occupancy, so it's been about 85% to 93% around there. Now that said, rental occupancy has been a lot less. It's not the nicest of buildings right now. We are updating it. We're trying to do what we can, but the rental occupancy is the smartest people paying rent on time without having to evict. Without to evict somebody, it's been, you know.
Well, I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
And Ben has stated that he basically for 50% of the rent, he's got to go door to door. And I can relate to that.
Yeah.
We have a current suggested at 575, 815, requested at 215, 735, a recommended change by the assessor's office of 313, 750.
I would move we accept the recommended change of 313, 750.
I would ask, as we're really trying to invest in the building and really trying to turn that thing around as much as we can and to get better tenants and to help bring people down to downtown Beatrice, similar to what the guy was saying. The first guy up here, to get people to get down there, you got to get tenants and get people down there that are going to start spending money. So I would urge again to get as close as we can so we can start improving the building. We've bought all new carpet for the building. We've got new paint. We're going to put a new roof on the building.
We really want you to do that, but we can't use the equalization as an economic development tool. There are other programs that I'd be happy to talk to you with where there is funding available for trying to fix places like that up, and I could steer you towards a couple offices.
And I talk to Michael Sofin all the time, quite a bit. So, if you got more, though, I'm all
we
all
do age. Appreciate you spending money downtown and trying to help clean that up. We have a motion by Hill, second by Lytle. Any additional discussion? I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. 2, change that to $313,750 for this year.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Who is next, Patty?
Mulder.
Yes, I do.
Roy, could you state your name and address for the record, and I'll swear you in?
Yeah, Roy Mulder, 6005 East Gage Road, Perth, Nebraska.
Will you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. And which parcel are we looking at, Patty?
Here to listen, so I assumed that it was, your recommendation was to change, and so I was just here to listen. I didn't anticipate speaking today.
The question is the chickens, and the state has jumped into this, and the state has given us guidelines that we should be valuing these so much per square foot, and I'll let you carry on with that, because that's where you are with it.
Well, I had a Mr. Faulty's prepare this for me, and he took several different broiler barns across the state, and then he took my actual value to build, and the valuation that was placed on it was extremely a lot higher than that, and I think that the adjusted valuation was more in line with what it actually cost me to build, which was a little over $8 a square foot. If I'm correct, Mr. Faltes and Daryl visited, and that's what we came up with.
And the request. Yeah, we did. And the state has given us a guideline as to how much per square foot for these boilers and the
I didn't
know
this
time. We have a current value of $4,991,990. A requested value of $2,151,284, and that is also the recommended change.
Why is that a discrepancy here?
There's a dollar difference.
Plus a dollar, I'm sorry.
Why is it such a difference? Because the state is demanding, so to speak, equalization among all of these chicken houses. And, whether we agree or disagree, they're giving us a list of all of them, and they want equalization throughout the state of all of these chicken houses. So that's where we are with it. So
it's funny how they decide on some and not others.
Well, what you have for recommended is where it should be at now, right?
Correct.
With the dollar difference.
I did the dollar amount. I ran it on the square footage of, I went 861 a square foot. And with the land and everything, I came in at 2,151,285. And he was asking for a 284.
So if that's state mandated, and that's agreed upon basically between the owner and the assessor's office, I'd ask for a motion.
I'll move to accept the recommended change.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Juergens. Any additional discussion? Are they going to do that with any other industries?
Well, I just don't make any sense to me.
Me neither.
You're saying you're $2 million off here.
Yeah.
So one barn built in Gage County cost so many dollars, one in Lancaster's cost twice as much. Where do they come up with these figures at?
I don't know, but who'd think the state would ever lower prices on anything?
Why, I just don't understand.
Well, they have come out with their figures, and they're plastering it. We're getting letters on it from the state as to what they're recommending that should be on these chicken houses. They're starting to do the same thing with hog confinements. And so they're just trying to structure everything. So
does the age of it make any difference?
It would to me.
Well, I would hope so.
It doesn't.
By shore, will deteriorate real quick.
But on your figures, what they're giving you, age doesn't play in.
No, it's not. It's just mix across the board, no matter what they house they were in.
But this is mandated by the state regardless.
That's what they're giving us for guidelines, and this is what they're recommending, that they have these chicken houses within that range for.
I mean, this works out good in this case for you. Just, I mean, this is why all of us get frustrated with government. There's no sense in any of this. Well, we have a motion by Hill, a second by Juergens. Can't say we understand this.
Terry, I'm just like you. I, as an appraiser, kind of gnaws at me, but there are structures, so I'm trying to follow.
I would ask one more question. What was this valued at last year?
$4,728,475 for the improvements, and the land didn't change. The land's at $263,515.
How old is this now, Roy? 3 years?
3 years.
I put the first chickens in February of 18.
So 93.
Where's this plant?
Pardon me.
Where is this?
Outside of Corwin.
Outside of Corwin.
How can you forget that?
I couldn't, but I just wanted to verify it. I knew exactly where it was.
He is building an office and equipment control building that
I've heard of Google.
It isn't done yet, and we will be picking that up.
Well, I'm glad that's going well up there. I guess we have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? I would ask you to vote. Six in favor, motion carries. That's a good reduction. I wish we could hand those out.
Don't have a CRP, do you?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Don't forget that.
Is there a refund process? It's because I've already paid the taxes.
How does that work, actually?
This is next year's taxes.
This is next year's taxes.
But just like you can't, you can go back on some things. Can you rebate back on some, or how's that ever work? Oh, if it's an error, okay. Sorry.
$45,000 was a pretty big check to write.
That is a big one.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The next one is Robert W. Hansel, Sr., and that is,
he missed the left.
Number 26 on your change line. Is that you? No? Did he leave? Somebody signed in.
Well, Daryl took so long, you got frustrated.
Daryl, evidently the way to do it is not even argue anything and you save $2 million.
Well,
geez, I mean, this is supposed to be equalization. Everything's the same. And then, I mean, I don't even know how to argue for or against the last one or yours. Well, geez, I mean, how are we supposed to tell people this is equal?
Cat slip, too.
Well, I didn't mean it like that, but I mean, so he can get out of here.
Gunderman.
Joe Gunderman.
Yes. And Grundman, I assume the traditional German pronunciation was Grundman or something similar. But
what have we got here? It's an entry. Joe, what's the number?
It is on the change.
Number 12 on the no change.
Number
yes
12.
Or no?
No change.
Number 12.
Number 12 on the no change.
I did not print enough copies. This was just kind of some comparison info for anyone who wants to.
Address to the record and swear again when you're ready.
Joe Grundman, 8989 Timber Ridge Court in Perth.
Will you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're ready whenever you are.
Great. Good afternoon, everybody. I was another one. We got a late notice, or with not enough notice in the mail to be at the prelim hearings. I also have generally no knowledge of how these things typically go, so this is the first experience for me. Also, just acknowledging I don't have a lot of detailed knowledge of how the process works, and I do know there's a lot of variables that you all have to take into account, and being able to take those into account and put a 100% accurate value on everybody's properties is probably extremely challenging.
It's not.
It's so when we got our notice of the value change, just a few things jumped out at us. That first page are some of the numbers that I put together. This is all a comparison of other homes in the development. The development is, I think, 16 lots total, several of them people have bought an additional lot to be combined. So there's only a few lots that are left vacant. I have 8 other homes on here for comparison. All the houses were built within the last 5 years. The first one was the 8792 that was built in 2015. Everything else was prior or post. And then there's not a good comparison for recent sales. None of those homes have been sold here, other than the initial post-construction sale of the house. So I don't have a lot of good data to go off of for that. Just in general, my kind of square foot comparison basis that I noted on here, that is the total square foot for the house, for each of these houses. That does include the square footage for the basement. It does not include the square footage for the garage. Covenant for development requires that every house have a 3-car garage, so they're all going to be fairly similar size. I'm also making a general assumption that it's going to be a comparable amount of space left unfinished in the basement, a couple hundred, 200, 300 square feet, which Just wanted to highlight a few of the kind of the differences or common features that our house does not have that most of their homes have, that I kind of factor into the case for our piece of property. Our basement finish is actually only a partial finish. We just paid the builder to take it through finished drywall, so that means no trim, no flooring, there's no doors down there. The light fixtures are just the standard $1.75 Menards socket light fixtures, or Lowe's or Home Depot, whatever your flavor is there. There's only primer on the drywall, whereas, as far as I know, all the other houses in development have a fully finished basement. For our basement, I would put the cost of finishing it somewhere between $25,000 to $30,000 to actually finish the entire thing out, to put in comparable flooring and fixtures, etc. We didn't have sod put in. I took care of all the seating, and we didn't have irrigation put in, unfortunately. That was my wife's call, and I wish that would be a little different. There's no concrete pad at the garage front. I know a good handful of the other houses have like siding for garages, which adds a significant cost to the building or construction of the home. I think those are kind of the biggest ones that our house lacks, especially the partial finish in the basement. I did also note just the percentage increase, which ours was significant. There was one other home that has significant increase. I wouldn't assume that as the basis for an argument or a case. My assumption is that last year it might have been a little bit undervalued. I think a larger increase is perfectly fair. I think 26% is a bit excessive. Also on here, I noted this is off the pages I can pull online, the quality ratings for every single home. As you can see, that the lowest is a 35. There's only two of them, and ours falls into the 35 quality rating. Everything else is a 40, with the exception of one of them that's a 45. So looking at breaking down the square foot cost, total square footage of our house, our dollars per square foot comes out at the assessed value to $113.48, which is the second highest in the development by only $1.25 per square foot. That is significantly more than a handful of other houses that are our house is good quality construction, but are probably significantly better quality construction. That's more of an opinion deal there. So just going off of the things that our house lacks, all the lots are valued the same. The land values are all the same for all the towns. It's at $41,000. But some of the features our house lacks, not to mention the assigned or noted quality rating of the house and partial finish, $113.48, being the second highest in development, just seems like it's a bit on the high side.
Who provided the quality ratings?
That is what I pulled off of the assessors when I go on the GIS workshop. I can just print off those PDF forms, and I'm not sure they're on that form. I think there's a third page with most of those documents that gives a quality and condition rating. I'm not sure if the assessor puts all those in or if that's generated in some other fashion. Okay.
I'm Gerald Stanton. I'm
good. Good to meet you.
Daryl, do you have this in front of you?
Yes, I do.
I was just looking at those two that are real similar in size. Let's see here. He's 35-20 and 35. It'd be 83-54 Timber Ridge in his.
Okay, go comp. I've got these numbered as the way. I got comp 1, 2. Now, he paid $451,217 or $256 a square foot. Comp 2 that I have was at $209 a square foot, and it was similar in size, but I have that the basement is different, and I don't know what that is. Comp 2 is sold for $446,000, and it's sold for $229,000. Is sold for $256. We have him assessed at $226. Comp 2 is a sale at $446,000. And let's see, Comp 3. If you go to Comp 3, it's a sale at $433,000. excess of 245. Here's the comps I have that I'll pass around. He submitted 7, I believe. I had 7.
We don't. We just don't have.
I think I tacked an extra one on the and the.
So
I the sale values and I think yeah, this is kind of my opinion. I discount the post construction sale value a little bit. I don't know what all those ones, but I had to I mean, people are rolling things like appliances and some other items in there that don't necessarily have a huge impact on the actual value of the house.
I had one here that you had listed at 2,044 square feet, which is quite a bit larger than yours, but it had no finish in the basement. And that was one that was assessed at $402,975.4. Comp 5, similar size, but it had no finish either. And it sold for
$335,000.
Cold coffee. With no basement finish.
Right, you love that.
And a lot of the, some of these that you supplied me with, Joe, had no basement finish, which does cause a difference in the valuation of them. I do want to go back, and you said your basement finish is not, and I have you down as 1,600 square feet of partition finish. Is that true? Or you were saying you don't?
It's, we paid our builder to take it through finished drywall. Yeah. I'm relatively handy and was going to finish it out the remainder, and I haven't done any of that yet.
What does your wife say about that?
She doesn't appreciate the lack of timeliness.
Let me ask you a question then. What percent of, you said the drywall's there, no floor covering, no paint. You have the bathroom down there? Shower.
I installed a $120 toilet in one of the bathrooms, so we had a toilet down there. But that's great. There's no flooring. There's no doors. The drywall is only, it has primer on it. There's a drywall ceiling.
Okay. Okay. That we have in the partition thing, so we could make some adjustment. That I do have an appraiser here. We could run out and take a look at that.
What difference are we talking, Daryl?
Well, you're going to be talking, we take it to a recreational finish or a minimal finish, but he's got a lot of drywall. That's a big deal. And I don't know, he's got rough-ins. I'm assuming you have rough-ins.
There are rough-ins there. You have stuff out for everything.
Shower,
yep.
Sink, and
yep.
You got the stool in. So.
Yep. We paid him to do the hard part for the park tonight.
You bet. I wouldn't want to do it. So we'd have to make some adjustment down. I could rerun it at a minimal finish or less finish to see where it comes in. We'd have the office staff do that and see, or have somebody go out and look at it. And
I think we did here.
That's the board's fault.
How long would it take to determine the rec finish?
With the office or going out and look at it?
We know just with the office.
I can go down now and get out.
We can go down and
I dropped the gentleman. I don't think we need to go out and look at it.
No, I agree. I
appreciate that because then I'd have to clean up the basement and that would take a significant period of time.
Here were some. I felt that, well, and let me pass this around. This is kind of, I'm sorry to think about it.
Let me get that to you.
That was exactly his. We have the sales to support the bonus.
No,
but equalization is what he's after, and I think
Daryl, quick question. I mean, just on this is on the sheet that he gave us. I don't know if you have this or not.
There were some additions. I added one property, and then I also added a few columns just to show the quality ratings and a few other things.
On the 8354 Timber Ridge, that's a quality rating of 45. It's a similar size within several feet. It increased 7%. It's a quality rating of 45. Proposed taxes in 20 are $390,000. The 8989 Timber Ridge that we're talking about is a quality rating of 35. which is less 10, similar size, and it's $9,000 higher.
I've got an itemized sheet of the differences, whether it's
between those two.
Coming your way. And I numbered the comps that he submitted. And there were some changes, like no basement finish. Garages were basically consistent with all the garages out there. And I agree with Joe, there was not much change there. Some may have added some sheds or something, but.
One story. Very similar footage. He's still higher on this one.
Our sales out there are killing us, and we got to have to address it next year.
North of 41 is pretty hot.
Well, project goes in, we might be adjusting more.
I think you're right. The sales support it, but it needs to be equal.
That's where I wonder between these. They're not the same. Maybe you don't have the sheet. I'd like to.
I also have the cards. Eric, I got the property record cards when I around somewhere.
These two are the ones I wonder on. They look very similar. I mean, they're within several square feet of each other. And if we're providing these quality ratings, if you look here, this one's rating 45. It's a very similar size. This one's significantly higher in comparison to the one we're talking about. If the quality rating's accurate, it seems peculiar that this one would be so much less.
I'd want to take a look at that. I do agree. Percentage increases, I do not pay any taxpayers do, but I wish do. But this is a different reason, the 35 to 45. We're trying to get them balanced.
And I agree, the sales agree, you know, you have the sales to show it, it's just,
oh yeah,
why is this one so much lower? Mm-hmm.
John's got the print.
I've got another one of these sheets too, I might leave it out. Okay. That might be one to keep in mind.
Because we're going to be going back after count the acreages again this year, because they're just out of sight. His sale itself shows you that.
Do you want to wait for Lloyd to get back with this, or do you want to take a break on this one?
If Joe's got time, I think we're going to be able to spin that out and show what he's talking about, and I'm going to care. I believe the young man. He's not going to stand up there.
Do you have anyone else that you want to bring in between, or did everybody leave?
Robert Campbell Jr. He was here. And
Brent Katz was here as well, I saw.
Is he still here? What I think that is going to talk on Brent's behalf.
Okay.
Maybe Daryl just wants to argue for some of the others.
He wants most of his raise more. He knows how much they're worth.
He likes
Colin, to do what this. About that gentleman you have to do on the phone?
Yeah, we need to call him.
Let's do it. Here you go.
We're
set and waiting anyway. Get that over.
Is that a commercial property here?
It's Casey's.
Oh, shoot. We need Lloyd then.
Casey's
we
can't
need
afford
Darryl. Oh, we need Daryl. Where'd Daryl go?
Hey.
Other Daryl.
Huh?
Casey's can't afford to get that person here to represent them.
He was on
like Daryl and everybody else does?
He was on vacation with his family.
Not our problem.
Not mine either.
He's probably sitting in the office.
He's calling in.
On the North Side.
He's calling in.
Generally, the quality, like whether it's say average plus, good, basically, there's a marshal manual down there that shows a lot of it's the rough.
I gotta do something.
What do you have, Lloyd?
I'll bring some water over.
$18,220.
$18,220.
What do you call yours?
You said $18,000, Darrell?
$18,220 deduction.
That's Lloyd.
That's all right. I've been called worse.
Can't see, can't hear.
It'd be $381,245. What did you request?
Well, the 422 was, and that was based off, I think, a few things we're looking at wrong. The newer spreadsheet, I had a recommendation of like around 364, which obviously variables, and I was not taking into account that there were more unfinished basements in the neighborhood than what I thought, so I would think that 380 range is would be that sounds.
I would ask for a motion and a second.
I would move to change it to the recommendation of 381,245.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Lytle. Any other discussion? Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. To reduce that to 381,245.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Joseph. Do you want to do the one over the phone, or do you want to have Mr. Katz?
Let's try the one on the phone. If we don't get him, we'll go to Mr. Katz.
It's probably a good idea just in case.
Yeah, that's cool.
We did tell him around 2 o'clock. And
why don't we start on Katz while she gets him on the line and finish up Katz while he waits on the line?
I like your enthusiasm, but I don't think it'll work.
Yeah.
It's a good thought.
Do I need to pull a card?
Who's this for, Don?
Casey's number 3 on no change.
Number 3 on no change.
Okay, is it under Casey's?
Wait a second. That's Wayne and Patricia Busboom.
It's on your
under
list
no change.
Yeah.
That's Wayne and Patricia Busboom.
What about
no,
that
my
one?
No changes. Oh, excuse me. Number 4. Sorry. I was looking all the way here trying to dial in the.
Number 4, no change by Philip A. Smith, CPA.
That's for all
Smith.
Philip, this is Dawn with the county board here. They're going to swear you in. You are on speakerphone now, and we're ready for your protest. So hang on just a second.
Philip, will you give me your name and address for the record, please, and then we'll swear you in?
Give you a what now? I'm sorry.
Will you give me your name and address for the record, and then we'll swear you in?
Sure. My name is Philip A. Smith. And I'm a resident of Huntington, West Virginia. My office is 990 Fifth Avenue, Suite 220, Huntington, West Virginia, 25701.
Did you get all that, Don?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you need him to repeat anything first? Or?
We'll play it on record here.
Okay. Philip, can you raise your right hand?
Yes, sir.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Well, if you said I don't. You bet. Thank you.
Do you want to begin with your protest on the Casey's retail building?
Sure, that would be great. And I definitely appreciate you guys making the accommodation for me being out of town. Yeah, and I spoke with the assessor on it, and essentially, you know, we're both using the same information to value the property, and that's Marshall Swift Cost Manual. And in the protest support, I don't know if you guys have a copy of that information. It gives pretty detailed instructions on how to identify a convenience store versus a mini mart in a convenience store. And according to Marshall Swift, again, the same manual we're both using, a mini mart is typically between 1,000 to 2,000 square feet, whereas a convenience store is 2,000 to 8,000 square feet. And this is clearly a convenience store because it exceeds 1,000 square feet. And additionally, in the manual, there is a picture of a Casey's General Store as a convenience store. So it's pretty cut and dry what this should be valued at. And I looked on the GIS mapping system to look at a couple of other gas stations in the area to see what code they were being used to be valued at. For instance, the Shell station, which is only 800 square feet on 900 East Court Street, is valued as a convenience store. Again, that's what I'm arguing for. The Phoenix, which is Farmers Co-op, it's 2,880 square feet. It's valued as a convenience store. with all that being said, the Casey's is being valued as a Mini-Mart, which is valued incorrectly according to the manual construction. And that's the difference there, like $70 per square foot higher than what it should be valued at per square foot. So that's really the biggest reason for our difference. It looks like the value increased on this property in 2017 from like 500 and some thousand to 1.2 million where it sits today. And that was done because there was like a very small addition to the property. And per the notes that we have from back then, the assessor's office was picking up the underground storage tanks. And all of that's accounted for in the valuation of it using the correct code, the Marshall Swift. And we have a value of $744,591, which would still put this property above most of the other gas stations, if not all, in Beatrice.
Mr. Smith?
Leaving. Yes, sir.
Okay, this is Darrell Sanders, one of the appraisers for the Gage County Assessor's Office. Now,
yes, sir.
In regards to the one we're talking about, the 70 is twice the size of, it's the largest one you have here out of the four. Is that correct?
No, sir. You indicated it was 600 square feet larger. But it also is valued. It also is valued substantially more than any Casey's and any other gas station in Beatrice.
Yeah. What's your property ID number? What's the address on this one?
This one is 011-455-000.
And your address?
Is the property. Address on this one is 1116 North 6th Street.
Okay. Now, are you a part owner of this, Mr. Smith, or are you an appraiser or a tax rep, or what's your...
I'm a tax representative, so I'm hired by the company and have been since 2004 to manage the property tax function. So essentially, I do the same, I serve the same role that you do, Darrell, to the opposite side.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that. Anyway, the one you're protesting is the biggest, and it's on the main, it's one of the busiest areas we have, and you feel that it's worth about half of what we have on it. And it's one of the
highest. Yes, sir, based on the methods that we use to pay property. The fact that it's on a busy stretch wouldn't matter as opposed to, I mean, I guess that would factor in your land valuation, but it wouldn't matter in terms of what we're using for cost approach.
So your location, you feel, in your opinion, doesn't have any effect. But,
if you're valuing property the same way.
And we have. We've done an equalization on what the others have valued in relationship to square footage, quality and age and condition and things that you made some changes on this particular one in the last year. So, but what else do you have to offer?
I feel like that was pretty okay, sir. You had done an equalization, but you hadn't provided that. And I mean, just passing the eye test, I mean, again, your Shell station is valued using 419. Cost code 419, and it's 800 square feet, so that's incorrect. The CNEX Farmers Co-op is 2,880 square feet. It's also valued using code 419, and we had this discussion, and we both put the same information, same manual. That creates a huge disparity, and so the value of the Casey's that we're looking at at Mini-Mart 531 is not equitable with every other gas station that you're valuing, and it's incorrect according to the instructions.
Okay, I understand where you're going. So maybe one of the commissioners have a question, but I think you answered my question.
Yeah, I have a question for Darrell. The Shell station he's talking about would be Nick's, I'm assuming.
Yep.
That's a pretty tiny really tiny. Yeah. And then the farmer's co-op Senex station down there, 2,880 square feet, I would assume includes the tire shop and the repair shop in the back of it. The actual convenience of it is
correct.
The actual mini mark, whatever. That square footage is
on the property.
It's in the trip. Yeah, it's so tiny over there.
Yeah.
Their concentration is on maintenance, repairs, tires.
Correct.
And
so
service.
It's nothing comparable to
to
Casey's.
Go ahead.
Okay. In looking at the property details, it looks like those are all broke out. I just gave you the 2,880 square feet for the Mini Mart convenience store that you have coded in your website. So that should be the actual square footage, roughly about the same size, value substantially less.
Okay.
Can't be.
I'm not sure.
They could be close.
How are the other Casey's in town classified as? We have them as many convenience stores.
Many convenience stores.
Yeah.
And this one on North 6 is classified as?
That's his argument, as a mini convenience store. They're all classified the same.
That's mini convenience store. Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
And why is it that you're valuing it at a mini mart when it's defined as a convenience store?
We try to be equalized with the rest of them, so we'll take a look at what you feel the Marshall and Swift is. We're also consideration is equalization amongst these, so we'll look at the Shell that you mentioned. And
the Shell say that 94,000 land and building, and we're at the median 284.
Well, we'll pull that into consideration and add it to the pile. Any others you want to add to that?
My case is based on the same data that we're both supposed to be working with, so I'm not sure why we're getting such a difference.
Okay. Well, that's why you're calling. Anything else?
No, do you have anything else? Did you have the equalization that you provide for my files?
No, other than the printout that I have, and we can send that to you. You have copies of all of our property record cards that you, I assume you're representing all of them and you're protesting only the one, is that correct? Not the rest of them?
Correct, because they're all valued correctly. Minus this one. This one's substantially higher. This one's twice the value of our next highest valuation. I looked at counties surrounding Gage County, and this one is the highest by a substantial amount.
Yeah, but you've done some work on the one, the subject, plus it's 1,300 square feet bigger than your next largest one. And you have two of them at the same size, 2376 and then you have one at 1,500 square feet, another at 1,900, and another at 1,920.
How many square feet is this, Daryl?
Huh?
How many square feet is the North 6 store?
1,300 square. We have it at 3677. So.
Right, and so according to Marshall Swift, which is what Daryl and I both use, that would put it as a convenience store property, and so that would be valued at $117 per square foot, which is the number that I used in my valuation. I have no idea what number Daryl used in his, but the Minimart cap classification is for a property between 1,000 to 2,000 square feet, and those valuations generally are done about $70 per square foot higher, which is why I believe we have such a difference.
Okay, now are you including the tanks in this value that you're throwing out
there? Yes, sir.
Huh.
It was all in the detail that I provided, yes, sir.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Now, the commissioners may have some questions. I don't know. You've answered mine.
How many square feet did you say, 3677?
Yes, sir. And that's 1,300 and some square feet bigger than the rest of them.
It don't seem like it is, though.
Well, we've got the here. You can pass this.
You ever been in it?
What?
You ever been in it?
I've been in all of these.
Yes.
How big is that compared to the one on East Court?
Darren, we aren't commissioners or supervisors.
I apologize, sir.
All right.
Do you have the data on East Court, Casey's?
Yes, we have them all here.
What size is that, Darren? 2,300?
That they're asking about, we have all the files here, and they're asking for their address.
Where's your
3677 North. Daryl, what are your thoughts? And if it's bigger, then it falls into a lower per dollar per square foot classification.
It can, yes. Except for if they've updated it recently, and they have updated this facility. So there's some changes.
And that's accounted for, Daryl, in my effective age, sir.
Okay. Yeah. What was the cost of here or the updating?
I'm not sure. I'm not part of their construction department. I don't have that information. I don't remember us discussing that whenever we had this call. Do you know what the update was?
Yeah, it was like 2018 or 19. They were still doing some concrete work.
Yeah, again, that's all accounted for in the effective age. I mean, everything's in there in the valuation that we put together.
What's the difference you have, Daryl? I guess if you guys are running off the same paperwork, you should end up with the same numbers, I would think.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
I got the information. Yeah, on the Court Street location, the square footage from your all's website is 3,100. That's about 500 square foot difference. Definitely not double. And that is that 600,000, and the reason I would not fill that is because I don't have a problem to use. This one's double that valuation, and it's only 500 square foot difference.
Well, we're going to remeasure that. I disagree with you. So have you been to the property and viewed it?
It's on your list. You're on the website.
I can't understand you, Mr. Smith. I'm sorry.
I said I took that from your website for your records, not mine.
But you're disagreeing with our 3,677 square feet, is that correct?
No, sir. I asked what size the property was East Court Street. I looked at on your website, the size of the Casey's on East Court Street is 3,100 square feet. This property, the subject that we are appealing, is 3,677 square feet. So it's only a 500 and some odd change square foot difference. It's certainly not double, as you had mentioned a couple times, so the valuation is double.
Mr. Smith, the worksheet I have here shows it's listed as the Hayes Court. Casey's, I assume this is it. It's written down as 2,376 feet on this. Is this your worksheet, Daryl?
Yeah.
So the information.
And there's also an addition. There's an addition on that as well that Daryl has. Same addition that they made to the subject that we have under appeal, they would have made to that one. They added 724 square feet, and you guys have that out there on the website. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, so that's where our difference is on here. So would it be your opinion that those should be more similar, the East Court store and the North store? East Court should be more. Well, then that might be too. I'm sorry, John, you want to see this?
What did you say, John?
Taking that into account, does that mean those two should be more equal?
No, we're going to have to take and digest that. I mean,
How much time do we have to do something like that?
You can hear his testimony.
Yeah, you need him to finish. And then
he doesn't have to.
Do you have any additional, Mr. Smith?
No, it seems pretty cut and dry. I apologize. I don't really have anything more.
Daryl, do you have anything for us?
He's answered all my questions, so I'm good.
Unfortunately, nothing is cut and dry here.
Yeah.
I guess I would ask you, Daryl, if those two buildings are within approximately 600, 577 square feet,
we'd have to adjust for that and for the difference in location and everything, so.
And the one's fairly new. I mean, this is totally updated in the last year. That one hasn't been for a few years.
What is the valuation on the East Court store?
Okay.
I mean, that's basically
six.
Six.
611.
Yeah, 611,000.
And proposed valuation on this one's 1.284.
And I've requested 744, which to me makes a whole lot of sense compared to that one.
I think you're probably right, Gary. Philip, there's a little discussion in the room. East Court's probably a little low, and the north side we were discussing could be a little on the high side. Daryl, are you going to review that and give us something here quickly? Or?
Well, no, I can't.
He can call back. We'll give him a call.
And then we'll just put this. How do we work that? Do we put that on an agenda in a couple weeks?
Protests that came in today, too.
So we'll have a couple more in two weeks. Yes, sir. Mr. Smith, we'll review this. Please give us a shout back tomorrow. Call the assessor. They'll try to have something for you, and then we'll make a final decision on this in 2 weeks at the next meeting.
Okay, great. And if we're talking about rates in another location, I guess that opens that up. I mean, I don't know what that looks like for you guys. Certainly, I can do a valuation on it. In accordance with what I did here, if we're going to make a big, you're not proposing making a big change on the Court Street location, are you?
Maybe I misspoke, Mr. Smith. That would be something we'd review for next year. We're only looking at this property for now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, and that'll be great. And I appreciate it. Thanks for making the accommodations and allowing me to call in.
And we'll make the decision by the 25th.
By the 25th. So how do we...
We're going to have a special meeting if you don't do it now.
Yeah, if we don't have it taken care of today, we will try to have something today, Mr. Smith.
Okay, great. So do I need to call in then tomorrow and speak with Daryl on it?
Daryl will get some, or Patty will get something to us today yet. We'll review it, and then we will have an answer tomorrow or later today.
Okay, so just call in tomorrow. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you all. Bye-bye.
The one over here on
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
From what I've understood, that East Court case is bringing in the most dollars and wallets in town.
I've heard the same thing.
Really?
You
heard what, Terry?
That East Court, because I know the Gallup man.
I hear the South one.
That one brings in the most money of all the other ones in town. It's number one.
Which one?
The East Court one.
East Court.
And I'm fairly certain I'm correct on that.
Getting split there at Dad's Mall, that was their best location, too. That's why they kept that one. Something with that. They don't seem like the ones you'd catch, but it's just the groups there or where they're at. Do you want to review that some, Daryl, and we'll... We'll go over to Brent Katz's.
Now, Terry made a statement there that this one on 6th Street is the newest of them. And the one over here on the court is built in 1994, whereas the subject that we're talking about is built in 2007. And it had a lot of improvements to it in 2016.
So did the East Court one, though. They put in that.
They put that addition in of 724 square feet.
Well, I think both of them did it about approximately the same time, where you could come in and make
too.
A sub sandwich and that kind of stuff. I mean, it might have been a year apart, but they were both about the same time.
They were a year apart. You're right.
shop. Not. East and west one doesn't deliver either. East and north deliver, south no pizza, west doesn't.
I guess just looking at from here, you know, not walking in them, not doing anything or measuring, either that is undervalued and that is way overvalued, one of the two.
Probably a combination of both.
Well, I agree with
that. So it works out.
But he was afraid we were going to do something to the one that he's using as a guide, so.
To be,
okay.
What was the east? What was the value on the east one?
611
is the east. Is it worth double what the north one is? Is the north one worth double what that east one is? I think that's probably a stretch of the imagination.
A lot newer building.
Probably the amount of money I spent there.
Well, you're on that highway corridor. People seem to value that a lot. I don't know that 600. That seems like an awful big stretch.
You know, I'm sure Terry's right.
His request was 784,000.
784,744.
I thought he said
744.
He said
744.
744,591.
744.
You're doing a review of all commercial property next year?
Yes. And this, and what we're doing here is location supposed to make a difference?
Yes.
It does. Location.
Yeah. Which would you say has...
Out in the country, there's a rural house that's on a dirt road. Built the same one that's on a highway. Is the one on the highway worth more money?
I'd pay less because you have so much
traffic. Might be less.
Dirt road, there's no minimum. There's a minimum.
Wow, you see what I'm getting at?
Gravel.
Location.
Daryl, where would you rather live? On a dirt road where people don't bother you or on the highway?
Terry, just in comparison, do you think the acreage is in the south sell the same as acreage in the north?
Well,
Daryl's not going to be able to get something to us today, realistically. All right, let's.
Terry, you either have to do it today or you have a special meeting.
Let's do it today then. I think it's way overvalued.
Jeez.
Get to work, Daryl. Shut up. Let's go.
We'll move on to Brent's. We'll see if we have something afterwards. Otherwise, we'll go on.
Drag this out for you, Daryl.
Yeah, drag it out.
A couple hours.
Yeah.
Lloyd, you've got 15 minutes.
All right, Brett Katz had to leave for business. He asked me to present this. I'm not comfortable in this role. His protest was irrigated ground. He has an 80 acres.
Number 12, no change.
And his reason for the protest was no access to the pump due to a township removal of the drive.
Lloyd, I'm sorry, is this the one that Brent protested on the no change or on the change?
Well, I did change it, but that's down the road a little bit. It's,
there's one on each list.
No, one is
one
dad.
Of his dad's.
38.
Okay. Yeah, one of them is his dad's.
Number 38
I'm sorry,
on the change.
I just read Katz. Yep, sorry.
And I did not make a change on Glenn.
Brent's 38, yeah.
I see that, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Legal sheet.
Oh. You didn't hand anyone?
Yeah.
I think I gave it back to Eric. That ain't in here, is it?
Nope.
No.
So, I guess I don't understand.
It was a yellow sheet, wasn't it?
Yeah. He wants to change.
It's a yellow sheet.
Current value is 320. Wants to change it 283 because he don't have a damn culvert?
That's what he said. But this to come out in the plane. This is a dispute between him and the township.
Right.
Okay. Norm.
That's not an evaluation.
Exactly.
Norman wouldn't give him a culvert, so he's got a bad culvert in there. I told him I'd try to talk to Norm, see if he'd give him a culvert.
Well, it's a township road. So he said he'll do the work and get the two.
Each township does stuff differently. Riverside didn't want to give him a township. Evidently, there was an argument between his dad and that township member 40 years ago, and
I told him I would read the protest, no, but I would not be his advocate.
Oh, so in other words, that's the one that's up down there?
Yes, sir.
That's the one you're down there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I don't know where that is. I don't think I've ever
seen
it. All
right, let's vote and let's do something. Let's get over there.
Recommendation on this one?
No change.
Go, hang on. This is the south half of the northeast quarter. He's got a gentleman named Brian Kohler that owns the north half of the northeast quarter, which is where the water source is, which is a pond.
Right.
And because of that, I gave Brett a 15% reduction on the irrigated value. And he's fine with that, of course.
That's his father-in-law that owns the north half.
Well, it's
so
matter.
So because the water source isn't on his property,
exactly.
That's the reasoning?
And if the north half
that
sells...
That makes sense.
We did this.
If the north half sells for me, right. And I said no more water to the south, we're done.
Yeah. Okay.
But see, I don't agree with that.
We've done that multiple times. So if the water source is on a different place,
Nate doesn't agree either.
Oh, I just had it. Yeah.
I had the same argument in Jefferson County.
I mean, it's his father-in-law.
No.
Same as the one over there where he's pumping off his mother.
Does he have the same
what
exact
are we doing
thing?
To Doug Hardy? That's his dad.
Yeah, Doug Hardy. We did the same thing.
The only thing is when Lloyd
if
sells it, he
has to sell
it
at 80. Cats keep this 80. He's got no water supply.
That's right.
The property owner, whoever owns the property, is in charge, could shut it down tomorrow. Say he pisses him off, boom, I'm selling it.
Divorces the daughter.
It makes sense to what you just said. Let's put it on.
So you're saying recommend
you
change it.
You get just a little excited, please.
I've been
walking around for 3 hours now.
283-305?
Whatever.
I dropped it to 283-305, yes, sir. Which is 15% off.
I'll make that motion. Do his change.
Motion by Dorn to drop it to 283-305 on parcel number 00499-2000.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Vote, please. Four in favor with Hill voting no. 4-1, motion carries. 283-305. Do you have anybody else?
Hansel signed in, so let's go ahead and do him. Robert Hansel.
Robert Hansel, number 26 on the
change list.
What do you got for us, Patty?
Evaluation. It's Robert Hansel, 2105 Elk Street, Beatrice. And the recommendation, he asked, or we have it on at $82,800, and he just bought it for $64,000. So the recommendation is the $64,000.
That's not what we have written down.
Sorry. Never mind. $78,390.
That's the recommendation?
Yeah.
Any discussion on this? He requested 86,225, requested 64, recommended 78,390.
Because he bought that in 14, so that would have been 6 years ago.
Daryl, you have something on this?
I wanted to ask Terry if I could say something.
Shut up. As long as it's quick.
You weren't talking to him, were you? Yeah, I was. I'm talking to Daryl. I was going to go, I'll recommend with a change in the square footage and equalization-wise around 800. They're asking for 744. I rounded.
Oh,
what,
he's back on.
He's only a little.
Keep going, Daryl. You're fine. You're fine.
No, and I just rounded it up to 800. That included the land at 70,000.
Yep.
That's your recommendation?
Yes, sir.
I would so move it.
Well, we're still in. No, we got to finish Hansel. We've already got a motion or a process going on that one.
Okay, Robert Hansel recommended change to 78,390. Motion to take recommendation, to take recommended, requested.
I'll make that motion.
To take the recommended?
Yep.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Byers, to take the recommended.
78,390
for Robert W. Hansel Sr. Vote. 5 in favor.
Five Lidles.
Lidle is not with us. Back to Casey's General Store, which would be on the no change, item number four. Recommendation by Daryl Stannard of somewhere around 800,000. I need a motion and a second.
744, was it?
Nope. That's what they asked for, was 744.
They asked for, but Daryl recommended 800,000.
No. Yeah. 800 even?
Yes.
And if he's got land valued at 70,000, you know, on that, they're probably light on money.
You know, for no reason, that seemed like quite a drastic drop, though.
I agree.
Yeah, but we tried to take it.
If we're going to look at them next year, then hopefully.
Okay, well, I would go 844.89.
What was the valuation last year?
Look at everything. Good job.
What was the valuation on that last year?
It was England, so.
I think you're going to see a significant increase.
On that 800. See, it was in 15 it was 639, and in 17 and 18 it's been 1,284,000. And we no changed it this year. We didn't do anything. We left it at the 1,284,000, knowing that we were going to do commercial rebound.
So it's been that high for 3 years?
Yeah.
But it went up,
2 years.
It doubled in price,
yeah,
in 1 year.
No.
It went from 639 up to 1,284,000.
That was
the year they did all the work, and it's all brick down the front.
Was that a new store they put in there in that year?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a whole different store. That went down to footings and started from scratch. All right, I'm more okay with that then.
Make a recommendation, lower the value to 844. 891.
Make it zero, please.
How many cents?
That'd be a zero or five.
890.
Can you do
890?
890 then.
No cents?
It always have to be a zero.
Oh, my God.
Recommendation or motion for $844,890 and no cents?
Zero.
Moved by Jergen, second by Dorn. Any additional? 890. 44.90. Please vote. Five in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for us, Patty?
Yeah, you got to read all these into the record.
So that's it.
We got biodiesel first. Wait a minute.
Oh. Thank you, guys.
No. Biodiesel, we need to talk about.
Right. Okay, biodiesel, let's hit it.
Okay. It is number.
That's for Terry.
It's under Jeremy.
I thought you had after this. Oh, hold on. You have time now? Okay, we'll do biodiesel. Run us through this because there's new ownership there. They've been shut down for this last year. That'll be for this next year, though.
So it's number six.
Number six, no change.
No, it's going to change now.
We have a sale for $20 million on this.
Who bought it?
They didn't tell me. Well,
Marathon Petroleum.
Some of the real estate trades from here. Patty's got the info.
Do you have a transfer?
Yeah, it's in there.
When did it happen?
It came up from the register deeds this morning to my office. So.
Really? Oh, that's good.
And we have an appraisal.
They're not
real estate transfer.
Depot out of there.
Huh? Oh, corn, oil, and renewable energy.
But I can buy their own stuff.
Ohio.
I think it was Jergens LLC.
It sold for $20 million, but they put $8,300,000 on personal property and equipment. They request an $11,700,000 on the buildings. And then there's two protests. But anyway, that's what they put, and I recommended that we go with what was on the real estate transfer. The personal property is a lot higher than that 8.3 mil.
Daryl, you have $17,668,000 listed as the value. Do you want to change that to $20 million?
No, I wanted to change it to.
no change number six and seven.
I want to go to 11,700,000 is what I want to do.
For the property.
The real estate, correct.
What was it valued before?
It was recommended at 17,660,800.
Yeah, that's where it was before.
And you're dropping it away?
Based on the sale.
Oh, you said a sale of 20 million. Personal property.
Minus the personal property.
We've got two protesters here.
Okay, I'm gonna ask that same question. We can't ever use a sale. When a property sells, we throw it out the window instead of going with it.
One more thing.
Now we're doing the opposite.
No, we have an appraisal on it.
Yeah, what's the appraisal say?
Well, the appraisal is...
Before the sale came through, we have an appraisal.
Yeah, before the sale. The sale came in at the personal property at 12,510,000. The real estate at 6,036,000, and the admin building at 772,795. Admin building was separate; it's on a different parcel. So,
and now that's listed at 900,000, I believe.
We got to have that other card here somewhere. On the admin building?
Was that part
that's
of the
another
process?
That's
that part of the process?
That's not
part of the appraisal. So I'll get it.
What number does that apply to then?
It's here. He's got two of them here.
Well, he's got a personal property. He's got real estate.
Yeah.
So we had a sale today that came up in 29.
So we need to have a change. If they didn't protest that admin building, then it can't be changed.
And they can protest personal property?
We've Here's talked the, to their attorney.
Is that it?
This is personal property. So we got the
if we're going to use sales, though, well, I don't know how we can use sales now and not other times.
Well, that's our question as far as the personal property. Patty's talked to the state's attorney as far as that. They can basically do whatever they want.
We have to call him. So what did the total value come in on that? This is an appraisal we're talking about, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
The appraisal came in at what?
$12,510,000. Nope. Just have to keep track of the piles here.
Didn't you eat lunch?
Go ahead, Darrell.
Had to run to the office.
He's going to add up with that appraisal value.
And in talking to their rep, he agreed with going with $11,700,000 for the building, and then the personal property, I think it was $7 million something.
Give that to him.
That would be under 20, but...
The biggest problem with this, the question is, it hasn't been running, right? For how long has it not really been running? I mean, they're running just at partial capacity. They never had. They have.
I don't know if they really ever hit fire up, did they?
Yeah,
the time, I mean.
They did.
Yep. They shut down.
50 employees at one time, and they never. For the last 5 years, they've really been struggling.
No, they had a bunch of grant money. They were doing a new experimental process, and as soon as they got it working, then they shut it down.
Oil plant.
And they did clean the system out. They blew all the pipes and everything, so there's no corrosion or anything. And in my information they gave me, this guy that works for him, Brett, he said all we need is 30 to 60 days, and we can fire the baby back up. So they didn't let what happened when they bought it, all the pipes and converters and everything, went to hell with it. So, but you're right. It came in at $19,390,000.
That's the appraisal before the sale.
And then sales slightly more. It was an even 20. What's the benefit to putting it in personal property versus real estate, and can they protest personal property?
Personal property, that's where Daryl and the people get together. Personal property is the equipment inside. A lot of times there's a discrepancy. If you have a high personal property, then you don't call it real. I mean, everything can be moved now, basically.
It's self-assessing, but you guys know, and you can equip whatever you want. We do critique their personal properties, all of these, E-Energy and the rest of them, and to see if they're putting stuff in there that shouldn't be there. And sometimes they put stuff, they don't itemize it. But we basically go with what they've got, unless they're putting stuff on there that we do have on the real estate, so we're not double taxation involved.
This is also a TIF project, which means none of the school districts or anything were getting advantage of the real estate value. They were getting advantage of the So when it's TIF, it goes directly, the tax dollars go to the city. Nothing is given to the schools or anything until it's paid off. It is paid off now.
It is paid off?
So that value will go on to the, in August when we certify values. Lori said that city clerk called her yesterday and the letter should be coming in by August 1st saying that by these events paid off on their TIF, other TIF, whatever they
are. We need to remind people of that when they are anti-TIF because the schools aren't getting money.
Once
these are on the tax rolls, they're there forever.
But the personal property they always did get, so the schools did, but now they will get the real estate side of it too, unless the new company that buys it tries to TIF it. I don't know how that happens.
That wouldn't work.
It happened before they buy it.
And it wouldn't work. It'd work off of existing value versus new value. So your recommendation is...
Well, yeah, the recommendation is that we go with $8,300,000 on the personal property and $11.7 million on the real estate.
Okay, say that again for me.
$8.3 million on the personal property and $11,700,000 on the real estate.
So you can drop $18 million.
Yeah. You're right. If sales came after the first year, we go. But if we have appraisals that go with it, then we'll accept those appraisals. So.
Well, just looking at these, you had this on our sheet to value this at $38 million. And what we're actually doing is going to be $20
million. Because that's what it's sold for.
Yeah.
But not only that, we had an appraisal before that. What would have happened if it would have just bellied up and left? It would have been worth probably pennies right. on a dollar. So we've at least got away.
We also keep in mind that's a Flint Hills plant. That's one of their smallest plants. I don't think they're in any concern of going belly up.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, what would if they would have filed and received?
Who bought it?
Marathon Petroleum.
Well, we do one or two things. One is no change it or go with the sale.
But if it's a no change, we have to call Brent on the phone because he wants to talk.
Yeah, he wants to talk to you.
This is what you think it should be, though.
I think we ought to go with the sale and just gather up our marbles and at least get something out of this rather than just a bankruptcy and close it down.
I like the going with the sale. I just want to remember this in the future.
Or remember Husqvarna, how we had $13 million in that, and it ended up selling for $3 to $4 million. They left it.
Yeah.
They paid it for a while, but then they took off, and then we had to lower it. It was warehouse.
But they paid their entire lease. So, I mean, they didn't lose any money. They paid out every month.
Kept it on there, and that was the argument we had, is, well, it's being leased, they're paying it, so let's keep it there.
Well, there's some pretty big buildings out in that industrial park that aren't valued nearly high enough.
Yep, yep.
I think they're called Tiemann Building.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yes, see, now we got where we need to be.
Now we're starting to hit the poppers again.
So now we need to review another property.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I will take your recommendation of Darrell on this one.
Tag it.
I have motion by Jergen, second by Dorn, to put $8.3 million on personal property and $11.7 million on the real estate. So that would be, real estate would be parcel 01164302. The personal property would be 00000011786. Jergens and Dorn. This will be the first time I've ever seen exchange personal property in equalization.
Not many people are filed.
Any discussion? I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. So we've got 8, 11.3 in real estate, and 8.3 personal property. Do you have any other ones for us, Patty?
What?
You have anything else for us?
I think we got everybody that signed in. So we had Daryl Brennan.
Jason Falkertz was out there.
Fred Mulder.
Grandma.
Okay, we will recess for 5 minutes at 3:38 on the clock.
Okay, ready?
Yep. We will rejoin at 3:43 on the clock. We'll start by reading in the changes. You want me to start, Patty?
Please, can you do fast? And then
I'll try. Parcel 00980000, Roger Aiden. Recommended change, $22,970. 00515,000, Roy Armstrong. Recommended change, $104,305. 00985500, Beatrice Online, LLC. Recommended change, $40,725. 01257,000, Joyce and Belding, $59,905. 00464711, Robert M. Brenner Jr., $335,000. 01202,600, David N. Bruins, $80,805. 00220,800, James and Bertha Buss, $63,805. 00225,200, James and Bertha Buss, $391,660. 00220,700, James and Bertha Buss, $43,490. 00437,600, Sarah A. Buss, $8,000. 01515,200, Mary Jane Corey, $63,290. 01106250,001, Jeff and Cherry Colson, $151,500. 00717,200, Kimberly K. Davis, 107,470. 01164320, Beatrice Du Onyx. That's the building. 772,795. It was at 1 million. Request was 600,000. Recommended is 772,795 for the building. I'm assuming that's the building.
It is, but that's not what we changed it to.
What did you want that changed to?
Can you pass that one and I'll grab the card?
We'll hold on number 14, parcel 01164321 and come back to it.
We didn't do
it on the protest. Parcel 00654-2101, E Energy Adams, 32,336,105. 01527,900, Jonathan A. Eller, 192,000. 01318,400, Equinox Consulting, 350,000. 01147,800, Blaine L. Everhart, 50,500. 00386110, Jason Folkerts, $485,000. 00658 9000, Matt Fossler, $237,385. 01240941 0, Garrett Friese, $291,580. 00854 3000, John Gandara, $7,960. 01160020 8, David M. Gleason, $254,240. 01179 8000, Bonnie L. Griffith, $92,360. 00282 8100, Rebecca Higemeyer, $168,510. 01511 0000, Robert W. Hansel Sr., $78,380. 390. I couldn't read my own writing.
We did that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. We did do that already. I can skip those, can I? 01134 9000, Karen K. Hensel, $78,000. 00013 9400, Daryl Janda, $19,220. 00013 9000, Daryl Janda, $150,465. 01286 6000, Andrew and Ryan Johnson, $83,300. 00980 9000, Jessica Johnson, $275,310.
For Production Creek.
For Production Creek, LLC. 01304752, Grant Nicole Jones, $310,000. 00511 4000, Roger and Linda Jurgens, $154,495. 01103 4000, Roger and Linda Jurgens, $107,805. 01216 5000, Roger and Linda Jurgens, $75,505. 01280 3000, Roger and Linda Jurgens, $39,630. 01382 2000, Roger and Linda Jurgens, $42,400. 01165 9100, Randall Leesburg, $130,000. 01472 1517, Richard Leesburg, $500. 01472150, Richard Leesburg, $227,575. 00854 9000, Jane E. Malum, $37,500. 01284 4000, Kimberly Matlock, $71,160. 004, skip that one, we've already done it. 01289 8000, Wolfgang and Peggy Newman, $19,260. 00321 3000, Dwayne Party, $66,180. 01400 2707, Porter Estates LLC by Allison Janicek, $45,395. 04002708, Porter Estates LLC, $46,125. 04100 2709, Porter Estates LLC, $44,665. 04002710, Porter Estates LLC, $43,130. 01400 2711, $43,130. 01400 2712, Porter Estates LLC, $44,660. 01400 2713, Porter Estates LLC, $44,915. 04002718, Porter Estates LLC, $44,915. All of the Porter Estates LLC were by Allison Janicek. 00273 100, Richard and Curling Rally, $176,190. 00548 9000, Logan Raber, $350,190. 01322 6000, Robert and Carla Roland, $42,655. 00033 300, Lauren Ruskamp, $240,580. 00558 8100, Brett and Deborah Schleich, $415,000. 00466 7103, Cassandra Shields, $374,900. 00271 7000, James Spilker, $222,445. 01187 9000, Kent Steinkamp, 172,805. 00649 9000, Justin and Julie Taylor, 110,250. 00072 7000, Janet Thompson, 427,655.
You didn't do the beat.
We did that already.
We did though.
Okay.
00464 6206, Julie Weber, 280,950. 012809,000, John D. Woodward, 30,000. We will have to come back to parcel 01164321 once Patty gets back. John, do you wanna read these on the no change?
I think Eddie would be good at that.
Eddie? Nah. That'd be kind of fun.
But you're so good.
01352 3200, Joe for Armstrong Rentals, value at 252555. Is that how I'm supposed to do it?
Joe Armstrong.
Yep.
00038 4000, Daryl Brooks.
We did that one already.
We did that one already. 01040210, Wayne and Patricia Busboom, 256995. 01301100, Dyeff Jeff, LLC, 850695. 01156 5000. Derek and Alicia Fritzen, 173445. 00022200, Carl W. Grauman, 163150. 00022800, Carl W. Grauman, 367400. 00973 6000, Great Western Bank, by Marcia Nelson, 188450. 00461130304, Joseph and Hill, Kimberly
Joseph
Hill, Grumman.
Joseph Grumman and Kimberly Hill.
That one, we already did that one, didn't we?
Yep, we already did it.
00618 4000, Deanna R. Hackle, 44250. 00464710 8, David and Kelly Hanayu, 419145. 01318 3000, Nick Houston, 390815. Elizabeth Jurgens, 00557810, Elizabeth Jurgens, 74380. 01088 9000, Roger and Linda Jurgens, 52795. 01389 Jurgens, Roger and Linda Jurgens, 40690. I say that one twice?
No, you're good.
01150 7000, Roger and Linda Jurgens, 37,245. We didn't do this cast, did we?
Nope.
00303 7000, Glenn and Eileen Katz, 676,535. 01251910, Donald and Catherine Cleekin, 244045. Sean, 00551 8000, Sean A. Cleveland, 126255. 00499 2100, Brian Kohler, 299820. 00876 7000, Robert W. Powell, 88,430. 00840-7000. Kenneth Restless Jr., 77,670. 00319-5000. James F. Richardson, 394,865. 00319-4000. James F. Richardson, 361,710. 01304-7505. Larry and Carol Rhines, 254,520. 00611-2000. Donna G. Sander, 165,235. 01181-8000. Lisa Saints. Sani.
Sani.
97,805. 01424-7000. Doris M. Van Winkle, 162,310. 00076-0000. Marvin Rains, 97,935. 00055-6000. Marvin Weens,
135.
00080-9000. Marvin Weens, 260,480. 01438-7000. Kent and Nancy Wilson, 63,335. 01432-5000. Kent and Nancy Wilson, 97,310. 01282-7000. Kent and Nancy Wilson, 30,790. 01285-8000. Kent and Nancy Wilson, 67,605. 01378-0000. Eugene Walken, 72,275.
And we'll go back and hit. Oh, okay. Can we have a motion to accept the no change items as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Jurgen, second by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Back to the change. Item 01164321 0. Duonix Beatrice LP by Jeremy Benzdick. VP. What do you have for us?
772795.
So as it's on this is correct.
That is correct.
So I'll read that in. 01164321 0. Duonix Beatrice LP by Jeremy Benzdick, VP. Recommended change 772795. I would ask for a motion and a second to accept the change list read as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Jurgen, second by Dorn. Mr. Dorn, could you read these in again real quick since we just had a new motion? Just kidding. Vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Anything? Let's see here. Let me look at my list. We've approved the property valuation protests. Approve or disapprove? No change. Property valuation protests. Anything else for equalization? We are adjourned at 4 o'clock.